Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So sure. Does your opinion change on whether Jaden will play based on his press conference? And well, he practiced, I guess, limited yesterday?
No, he looked not whatsoever.
It might have for me a little bit because he looked pretty good and he's so defiant.
Yeah.
Like, he's so, like, I mean, clearly he wanted to play last week. They
he's
held him out.
He's itching to play. I totally
he's
understand all that.
Pissed and wants to play again today. The thing that made me turn a corner is just the idea. Now, this could be subterfuge, and it could just be slick by the Commanders. But last week, they had Mariota talking on Wednesday to the media. Yesterday, it went back to Jaden talking to the media. So that's a little bit of a curveball. It doesn't mean anything because I think a year ago after the injury, Mariota talked to the media on a Wednesday, and then Jaden played against the Bears.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean anything definitively, but just the sheer bitterness that he had sitting there.
Oh, he's an ultimate competitor. That's what you want to see from your quarterback.
Totally. Not against it. I'm just saying the sheer bitterness he had, like, he's just like, come on, guys. And when you watch him move around, he looks fine.
I think they're throwing him out there to just confuse the Falcons.
And so keep you're them, buying keep the subterfuge.
And keep them guessing until the last minute, which I think is smart. It makes them have to prepare for both Mariota and Daniels.
I think there's a big difference. Doesn't mean he's going to play, but from what we saw yesterday and what we heard and saw last week, first of all, he says he wants to play. He says he feels normal. Second, he was on the practice field.
Mm-hmm.
He played that Bears game last year without being on the practice field in a full capacity. Now, I guess he wasn't fully practicing
yesterday,
but he was on the field. I think that's encouraging. I don't know what the doctors are going to test.
The thing is if they see like micro tears or something, they might just say, listen, dude, we know you feel great and we understand it, but we just want another week of healing, you know, for those little micro tears to heal up, and then you're good. You know what I mean? I could see that, whereas, like, we understand you feel perfect, but we just on the extreme side of caution, because we are playing the Falcons. They're the Falcons. They're okay. They're not horrific, but they're the Falcons. Mariota's playing great. I know we're not supposed to say that, but we're going to give you just another week. If it was a playoff game, we'd play you, but, you know, it's week four.
Yep. I don't think he's playing, and but I don't think Terry's playing either. I don't think Jade's playing. And
I don't think Terry's
even longer
but
shot.
I'll say this. I'm officially back on the fence on Jaden. Terry, I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. My stance has not changed. I think that Jaden is going to miss again.
Yeah.
I think it's there's a reason they're being cryptic about his injury, and I think they're going to protect him for at least one more week.
Protect him against himself.
Yeah.
He's had 14 days off, I mean, if you include today.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Sunday, it's, what, 16, 17 days?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It'll be interesting.
He says, I feel like myself. You know, and you look at him, that kind of doing the little drills, dancing around, he looks totally fine. But, you know, from their perspective, you know, they don't want to do anything to jeopardize him. It's a tough spot, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it really is a tough spot. I don't know what the right answer is.
And you do have a very competent backup who's won a game for you this year.
Which is a massive factor no matter what anybody says. They deny the hell out of it.
Absolutely. If they had the donk from Cincinnati.
Just lying. Just say it, they're lying.
If it was Sam Hartman, Jaden be playing.
If it was Sam Hartman.
Yeah, if they were 1-2.
Yeah, he wouldn't have booked a win if it were Sam Hartman.
Right.
That much I know.
Booking the win with Mariota and then having Mariota, all of that, it changes things.
I mean, Sam Hartman is basically, he's basically Major Tutty. He's basically the team mascot at this point. I mean, that's pretty much what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a better-looking version of Major Tutty.
Yeah, he's the best-looking mascot in team history.
That's what he is. He's Jaden's pal / team mascot.
You know, he shaved that beard, apparently, that made some waves the other day. He actually looks better with the beard. The beard really...
Makes him pop.
That's not to say he's ugly, believe me. The guy,
That guy's going to be calling games for Fox.
His big toe's better looking than my face, okay? That guy's like a good looking
dude.
He's
dreamy.
But with the beard, it really pops for him.
Yeah.
You know, he does a nice way. He grooms himself nicely.
Yeah, like my...
Like you and I.
Like my daughter knows the Commanders to an extent, but she knows who Sam Hartman is. Like she definitely knows. She recognizes who Sam Hartman is.
Right.
Like a lot of women.
Right. Like a lot of dudes.
Well, sure.
A lot of jealous
guys
dudes.
Take notice too.
Yeah. You
know? Hey, did you see Jaden's mom commenting on?
Hey, mommy. No, I did not.
What did mommy say?
She quote tweeted some dude who had like a list of things for Commanders fans to do.
Yeah.
And number one on that list was stop comparing any and every hiccup with Jaden, especially as it pertains to injury to RG3.
Okay.
I like that. I don't blame her.
And mommy quote tweeted that and said, especially number one with two prayer hands.
Right, she doesn't want Jaden comped.
She doesn't want her son in the same breath as Robert.
And I can understand that.
I get it.
Now, if you're Jaden, do you want your mom quote tweeting that?
He doesn't care.
Maybe not, but I can understand the mom not wanting Jaden side by side comped to RG3.
The injuries have some sort of parallel to it.
Maybe quarterbacks get injured.
I know it happens.
He's so much better than RG3.
I know everyone knows that, but
I think that's why they get irritated by it.
Because they bristle at it. They don't want him in the same breath as a Nubs quarterback.
Because the insinuation is, he's just going to go down in the toilet like Robert.
He's going to have one great year, and then the rest of it, it's going to be a flame out.
That he had a skill set that was similar, even though, albeit he was way better. And now he's already got a little bit of injury like Robert, and he's just going to end up in the same boat. So that's why they don't like the comparison, I think.
Well, I think there's definitely parallels because one was rushed back after an injury. The other one is being a little more mature about the injury.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if it's up to Jaden, he would have played last week.
Oh, I'm sure if it was up to him,
you could tell.
He would have been out there a lot. Right?
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, a little traffic report here. We're off and running fast this morning. At 11:30, Commanders tight end John Bates will join the program. John did not play this past week. DQ kind of hinted he wouldn't, said it was a long shot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotional alert.
check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
We'll ask John where he stands for the Atlanta game, plus what he thought of the run game, which was super impressive against the Raiders. At 12:30, University of Maryland Athletic Director Jim Smith will join the program. Really excited to talk to Jim. He is everywhere, dude. I follow him on Instagram, and this dude is out there really, really trying to build support for the Terps. Terps are also 4-0 with a huge game against the Washington Huskies coming up. They get a bye this week, and then the Huskies. I mean, think about that. Washington Huskies coming to College Park.
Oh, boy.
I mean, Washington versus Maryland, Big Ten football.
You go up to Washington, University of Washington, and you come to Maryland, it's going to be culture shock for them.
It's going
to
be a different world.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to that Washington Stadium a couple years back. It's awesome.
I played at the golf course.
Right on the water. Oh, I bet the golf course beautiful.
Is sweet.
I bet.
Yes.
Tischler's doing a golf trip where he's going to play Duke, Carolina, and NC State's golf courses. That's a pretty cool trip.
I didn't get my invitation. I don't understand what's going on.
Hey, Mitch, B wants to go.
Yeah, man. I understand. You want to just take them guys you just beat up on. I understand.
When the Mitchells get together on the golf course, they tend to take my money. I can tell you that. 1 o'clock, our boy Barstool Nate will join us. And at 1:30, Commandante Tequila sent us fake golf balls. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to send Jeff out into the alley with White Brian. Hopefully, we'll be able to stream it. And Jeff's going to try to hit one of these fake golf balls. They may explode. Jeff may not generate enough torque to explode it.
You hit a golf ball?
If it be the other part, if he doesn't explode it and just hits his golf ball in the alley, he could very easily break some windows.
Nah. That golf ball right there is not going hard enough to break no window. I'm telling you, it feels like a damn ping pong ball.
Yeah, I don't know.
With some sand in it.
Yeah, these are very bizarre.
Did you hit... Commander, and asked him again about these golf balls. Jeff, what did he tell you when you asked the question? He went, hee hee, or something.
That's kind of his standard. A little
weird.
Voice.
Yep. He said, shh, hee hee, have a little fun.
All right. So Jeff's going to hit an exploding golf ball at 1:30.
But it feels too light.
Yeah, because it's not a golf ball.
You know, I think it may have a little, what's it called in here? Like, what's the stuff they put in the firecracker?
We're going to find out.
Oh, like 1:30. Powder.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
I did at least want to play Bickle's Cut because I haven't heard this yet. I just saw people on the internet running with it. Let's hear what EB said this morning about Jaden.
And it was my immediate reaction when I heard right before the game that they said if this was a playoff game, he wouldn't even be close to it. There was no consideration of him playing. That's how,
right?
Like, he just wasn't close to playing.
Yep.
And then it made me think, oh, wow, it's way more than just a little minor. I mean, it may be minor relatively, but it's not just like a little boo-boo, right? I was talking to somebody yesterday who had, I mean, this is unconfirmed stuff, but that, you know, he was maybe walking around in a pretty big brace the other day.
Mm-hmm.
There's some thought that this could be beyond a 1 or 2 week.
Yeah, I'm expecting him not to play this weekend in Atlanta.
So, like, what Bickle said versus mm-hmm. how people are handling it on the internet, to me, are quite different.
See, and that this is why, and I'm only saying this information because he just said what he said and we played it. I am privy to so much information that I never, ever bring to the airways because you know what? If I don't have facts about something, I don't go talk about it. I was also told by someone, and the fact that I didn't come to the air and say it because someone, I don't think it's someone close enough to know anything, that if it was a playoff game, he'll play. See what I'm saying? Two people told two people two totally different things. That's why I don't say most of the stuff because I don't care about clicks or whatever. I'm just letting people know. So when people come out to me all the time, hey, man, what you think about so-and-so? Hey, bro, I don't know. Because you're not going to be saying, I told you something. That's the whole thing. We have a damn avenue in on this radio to where we have to educate too, but also we got to understand what we say will also spark conversation and attention. And I'm not going to say it when I think, if I don't have facts, you've heard me give you facts. And when I told you stuff, it happens. And we talked about it on air. But the mere fact, just because somebody says something, depending on who that person is where I'm going with. If the person not the doctor or somebody real close to him, if you ain't got the same blood running through your veins he does, I ain't saying a damn thing. Because everybody got some information from somebody. That's why I don't say it. Because he didn't mean any harm when he said.
Right. Like,
but people are going to run with it. And right. That's the thing about it. We all know that fact already, that there are a bunch of idiots on the internet that want to run with stuff. Don't give them nothing to run with.
Surrounded by idiots on the internet.
Like, yes.
For me, the Jaden thing, if there's like a quest for truth on this and you're upset that the coach isn't giving it to you, welcome to pro football.
He's not going to give it to you. Listen, man.
Now, if there's a different concern that, yo, Jaden's really hurt and he's going to miss 6 weeks, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But,
I think that'll be discussed. But let's be real. There's a certain thing called HIPAA. You know that? That doesn't seem to work in pro sports, right? Like, normally, if you're an individual and your doctor says something, your doctor can get in trouble. Anybody around you can get in trouble. Am I right? Those laws, HIPAA laws, whatever we call it, when it comes down to the doctor and nobody can say your information. But in pro football, everybody seems to know everything that goes on with everybody. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
So, let's be real. The coaches sometimes, I don't think they are held. I think they may be held to it. I think most people in the whole industry is held to it. But they don't say 100% of everything because they don't want to end up in some trouble. Certain things they just can't say. And certain things I'm not going to say because it gives somebody an advantage or a disadvantage. And I'm not going to damn sure I'm not going to give a team all the information to prepare for me. They need to think everything I'm saying all the time.
When we return, let's take a spin around the NFL. There are, I believe, 6 undefeated teams in the NFL. Who's the best? There's a bunch of teams that are 0-3, winless teams in the NFL. Who's the worst? And who's the best in the middle? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
More notably, we still don't really have much info on Jaden Daniels, and that's because the team is being immensely vague. Whenever they're asked about Daniels, they don't really give much. They say he's day-to-day, and they're not going to miss any markers, and they kind of keep it moving. This is the same group who last year never acknowledged that there was a break in the rib. They just said he had a rib. And whenever they were asked questions about that, they didn't really give any more detail.
He's in possession of a rib.
Turned out he played through the injury because it was a pain threshold thing, and for a month was compromised, and it cost him and them a little bit, but for the most part, he was still your best option, and they kept it moving. But now it's a knee, not a rib, and so that's not on the table. And so the question is, does he come back? Does he play against Atlanta? I don't know if you noticed this, but the tide is turning a little bit now on whether he's going to play for the Commanders against the Falcons. In the local media, I'm now hearing a lot more, he's probably not going to play against Atlanta. Well, we weren't even hearing that last Thursday about the game that he's already missed. Last Friday, it was very much it's coming down to the wire here. We're going to see what he does
on
Friday.
He's going to test it out, yeah.
I mean, the suggestion on Thursday, before he did not take the practice field on Friday, by a lot of the people, not only that cover the team locally, but I just mean everywhere around town, was, well, maybe he's going to play and he's not going to miss any time. But now you fast forward to Tuesday, and all of a sudden the tenor seems to be that he might not play against the Falcons either, which is fascinating to me. I think it has a lot to do with how Marcus Mariota played and the fact that now you can take your time a little more because he played at a terrific level and the offense had its best game. But what do you make of that shift?
Again, this is sort of it doesn't quite jive with what we see. It's not the same as last year, because last year it was, yeah, you know, he's playing, he's active, you know, he's got a rib, and we were sort of told everything was fine, and yet as soon as you know the series ended, he's going to the sideline talking about Daniels, getting wrapped in some sort of middle body heating, massaging type thing to try to make it so that he's not in excruciating pain. And then he's not the same on the field. But then we're told everything's fine. So again, you have eyes, clear, obvious information. Look, this is these are easy data points to collect. You don't have to have a, you don't have to be Columbo, enough to have a detective license and ask weird probing questions to figure out what's going on. He's not right. I don't care what they say because he's not right. So then, now this year, you fast forward to an injury, day to day, you return to play, the mile markers, it's all coming, it's all happening. And he's been day to day now for how many days has it been? What is this? We're going to be approaching 2 weeks where he's day to day. Interesting.
Yeah, I will continue to just say that the original thing that we heard and what we've talked about on the show was that the Falcons game was always the big question and more interesting, I would say. Was he going to play in that game? And the team certainly had hope, from what I can gather, that he would be available by then. And you're not going to rule him out before you need to last week either. But that was kind of the thought, was probably going to miss this week, and we'll see about next week. Hopefully it's only a game. I'm not ready to say he's not playing against the Falcons, but if you're asking me, do I think he's going to play, Danny? I would say no. I'm basing that on, number one, the fact that clearly the knee is still not 100% right, and until we see him take part in a full practice, which I doubt happens tomorrow, but it's possible, I guess, then that's just a fact. That's not speculation. If you're not practicing and you're wearing a knee brace that's gigantic, then clearly the knee is not right. This is not a rib. This is not a pinky on your non-throwing hand. You know what I mean? This is not your ear having some issue. Like, this is a knee for a guy that runs more than everyone else not named Lamar Jackson. So it's very, very simple for me. Until the knee is completely fine and you're not wearing a knee brace under your baggy sweatpants at the game that everybody can see because it's very, very big with, you know, and keeping you from bending your leg essentially as you walk around on the sideline, then there's nothing to really discuss here. Then we're not that close. Am I upset that they're doing the day-to-day bit instead of the week-to-week thing? No, that's within their prerogative. Like, no problem. You want the Raiders to potentially prepare for him? I don't think they actually did. But if that's how you want to do it, go for it. You want the Falcons to prepare for both? Perfectly fine. And in this case, this time around this week, maybe there is actually some question that maybe the healing is happening and he might be able to get back. Because we're talking about coming up on what would be, what, like 2.5 full weeks after the injury at the time of that game. So they're not doing anything wrong, but the idea that it's day-to-day is just flawed to me. Like, I don't believe in the premise that you can be day-to-day for 2.5 weeks. That means you were actually week-to-week. Like, you cannot simultaneously be day-to-day and week-to-week, in my opinion. Because someone might say, well, sure you can. It could just go on for a couple weeks. Well, those things are antithetical. Like, when the injury happened, it was week-to-week. It sounds worse to say that, so they said day-to-day. And you can always couch it with, we just don't know. This guy heals fast. He could come in and feel a lot better. Of course he could. I could come in tomorrow and have lost 14 pounds. Probably not going to happen, right? So this is more of a week-to-week thing. Luckily, we're 2 weeks in at this point. We're closing in on that. And so he is nearing a return, hopefully. But everything's on the table. You know, they told us nothing about the rib. They're telling us nothing about the knee. You can't, A, not give us any information, and then be upset when people are speculating. You don't get to do both.
Right. Yeah, we're alone in the dark looking for a light switch. And all the data we have is, you know, that he was inactive,
right? Not to mention, not specific to this show, the stuff we heard originally, which has all been right so far.
Absolutely.
Kind of led us to believe he might miss a couple games.
Totally. So, yeah, I mean, there's always the chance that this is all in the up and up. And here's what I mean. When you go, he's really, let's just say for the sake of argument, he really truly is day to day. And all it would take is this mile marker, this return to play metric, this thing or this baseline that he passes a test and he hasn't quite passed it yet, or we don't quite feel comfortable. He could still, quote unquote, be day to day. My point there is, I don't believe you. See what I'm saying? Like, you've lost the ability to tell me exactly what's going on with an injury and then have me take it at face value. Last year happened. Same thing with the Nationals, right? It's different organizations, different stuff. When the Nats tell me he's day to day, I'm going, please get him an x-ray because it might be a broken foot for Anthony Rendon. He's day to day. Might be a broken wrist for Danny Espinosa, and he played with it for 2 months. You see what I'm saying? Like, I've been burned enough times where I take you at face value. Sometimes it is face value, where they say Strasburg won't need surgery. And I go, we'll see about that. And it was just a little thing loose in his elbow. It wasn't actually the dire elbow thing that was the end of all time.
But you have the benefit of doubt now.
Yeah, you this group does not have that. And that's okay. I mean, it sounds like a criticism. It's not. My point is, I now, because I saw what happened last year with their marquee player, where you told me everything was fine, and it wasn't. Wasn't until an Instagram Live that we found out the rib was actually broken. Anybody watching could tell, A, he ain't the same. B, they're treating it. That's not how someone who's totally healthy gets treated. So if you could tell me, you tell me day to day, sorry, I don't believe you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that. There's nothing else to that.
Yeah, and I want to go back and double-click on something you said, which was, sounds like a criticism. I think it's important to point this out. I'll speak for myself, but it sounds like you agree with me. This is not a knock on the idea that, like, anyone's suggesting they should come out and tell you exactly what's going on with Jaden Daniels. I certainly don't feel that way. I don't think they should come out right away and say, hey, guys, there's a chance he misses two football games, and it's very possible that this lingers for a few weeks, and, you know, he actually has this PCL thing going on. I'm not saying they should do that at all, necessarily. But I take issue with the idea that media and fans shouldn't then also be curious about what's going on. And it also is very, very possible that there is a lot more to the story than is being put out there. That's all I'm saying. And until we know what's going on, until you see him start to get back on the practice field, I think you can wonder about a timeline. You can wonder about the severity of the injury and what we're being told. I guess for me, there's kind of two ways to accept this information. One is you and I kind of going, they're not saying much. They're being purposefully vague. It's the exact same group who last year didn't acknowledge that he broke his rib. We have no idea what the actual injury is or the timeline. They're saying he might play Sunday. Last week, he wasn't playing Sunday. Now, all of a sudden, on Tuesday ahead of Sunday, the following week, you're getting people saying he's probably not playing this week. Maybe not. In fact, I would bet against it, but he might. My point is, we don't actually know anything. But the other side of this would just be, here's what Dan Quinn said. That's what's going on. And you just take that and go, what else can we talk about? Let's look at other parts of the operation. And if you want to operate that way, God bless you. That's your prerogative. Like, that's what they're going to do on, you know, the Commanders Broadcast Network or whatever else. Right. Like, that's awesome. Do that. But as a person who wants to know exactly what's going on with the MVP and the face of the franchise and the guy that's going to take you as far as you're going to go with one of the most important body parts that he has as a running quarterback, I'm going to keep kind of wondering what's what.
Yeah, and forgive my curiosity and interest on that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. You're going to have to forgive me for being interested in the face of the operation and the CEO of this Fortune 500 company's availability and sustainability to get healthy and stay on the field here in the weeks ahead. Let's go to Brian, who's in Georgetown on Grant and Danny. What's up, Brian? How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Let's be honest, okay? I mean, the organization is definitely hiding things. A knee sprain, anyone who ever played any sport, it's pretty serious, even when it's a sprain. And for them to say it's day by day, I think that's total BS. And you know what? We are fine with Marcus. I would love to see him sit for another 3, 4, 5 weeks if needed. There's no need to rush him back, and there's no need to have another RG3 situation that we don't need.
Well, so the 3, 4, 5 weeks – I can't join you there because it could be a 2 to 3 week recovery for a knee sprain that gets you to being able to play against the Chargers at 100%. And if that's the case, when he's ready, play him. I'm not saying when he's 100% healthy, running around without a knee brace, sprinting on the practice field, cutting and jumping and playing basketball in his spare time, that he shouldn't be playing football again. Absolutely. All I'm saying is let's get there, right? Let's Precisely. Make sure that that's happening. And what they were suggesting was that might happen. Day-to-day means that could be 48 hours, 72 hours. I think we have enough information now to know, after that injury, that was not the thing. That it was not in 48 or 72 hours he might be running, cutting, sprinting, and ready to play a football game again. I mean, it has been now, what, 11, 12 days? Thursday night football, 7 from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like 12 days ago? And he's wearing a big hulking brace. Would he be full practice? Will he be tomorrow? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll learn a lot more tomorrow, for sure.
Let's go to AJ in Gaithersburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, AJ?
Hey, guys. So I had a little bit different take on it. And it was, first of all, by the way, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks we can do without
Jaden Daniels.
Well, that's another interesting point.
I don't agree with that
at all. It's all well and good after you pummel a bad Raiders defense, but if you go to Atlanta and get sacked six times and you lose a football game by a field goal, I think the idea of how urgently they need him back is going to change a little bit.
Absolutely. My take was that they beat the Raiders so handily, and they might, after seeing Atlanta get drubbed by 30 points, that they might have just changed it up and said, we don't need him now. But they don't want to put that out in the media and give bulletin board material to Atlanta. Like, we're not taking them seriously.
So, and I appreciate the call. People have this kind of week-to-week view of it, which I appreciate because that's the nature of the league. To me, this is the most important player this franchise has had in decades. The reason everyone's key card's going to work in 10 years, please treat him well. Please do right by him. If they were playing the Cowboys this week, the Eagles next week, and another NFC power the week after that, I still need him healthy for the rest of this year, for the long term, et cetera. So I understand the point, and you made good points, and I'm not begrudging the caller, but just we can get away with it one more week because Mariota played well. That never enters the discussion for me.
So it does for me completely.
Which I get.
We'll actually do that topic later in the show. But as a prerequisite to that conversation, it's obviously worth saying, that does not mean I would ever rush him back. He's not playing until he's 100% regardless. But, you know, if I can buy him an extra week because I'm now 2-1 and because my quarterback that would start as my backup has had three awesome performances in three games and just looked amazing this past week, yeah, I feel a lot better about asking Mariota to go start in Atlanta. And I feel like it's a lot less necessary when the entire organization, every player, every coach, everybody in the front office, every staff member, everyone on the social team needs a win, is counting on a win, that I feel like I can get that without Jaden Daniels with more confidence than I did 7 days ago, perhaps, you know, going to Atlanta after the way Mariota played and the way they looked on Sunday. The question for you guys on the phones right now at 800-636-1067, what do you think's going on with that knee? And what information is, do you think, not only out there, you know, that we know that may or may not be right, but how much don't we know? This is not
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
A knock on what they're providing. They're probably doing it the right way, but is it possible that this thing was worse when it happened than we originally found out? How did we go from a week ago at this time, there's a real good chance he plays on Sunday, to now all of a sudden there's people going, probably doesn't play against Atlanta? And is that at all intriguing to anybody?
Mr. Daniels, can you give us an assessment of where you are right now as far as come Sunday?
It's up to the doctor. It's not my decision.
For you, I mean, where do you think you're at? And
I feel good.
That was Chick Hernandez, it sounded like, with Jaden Daniels yesterday. Jaden wasn't talking much, although there were a couple of things he said that could have been clues to what will happen on Sunday. A busy Thursday show for us today. It'll start with our good friend Mark Zuckerman from Mass and Sports at 10:35. Mark will jump on and tell us about the new Nats hire, 35-year-old from Boston, to become the new president of baseball ops. By the way, baseball really getting exciting down the stretch. Cleveland has now overcome and taken the lead in the American League Central. If you're not paying attention to it, the Guardians, were 15 and a half games back on July 8th behind Detroit. They were 10 and a half back on September 1st. They've won 17 of 19. They're in first place. Cal Raleigh hit home runs 59 and 60 last night. Big time division races and wild card races coming down to the final regular season weekend in baseball. We'll have October playoff baseball next week. Looking forward to that. By the way, today for our football team, Cliff Kingsbury will speak before practice, Joe Witt Jr. As well. And then we'll find out, you know, when they practice, if Jaden is limited again, full, or something else. We'll also learn more, I would assume, about Terry's situation. Denton's going to jump on with us this morning. He'll do it at 11 to talk about what is truly one of the better college football game football weekends, Saturdays in recent memory. Charch will be with us at 11:25. Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com will jump on with us at noon to talk NFL, maybe a little Ryder Cup as well. So, yeah, yesterday was, you didn't get much, you know, from Quinn first and then Jaden second. Jaden's press conference lasted 4 minutes and 44 seconds. Every single answer, with the exception of three of them, were, you know, seven words or less. Up to the doctors, not my decision. I feel good was another answer. No was another answer. Something to get used to. Another answer. Nah, I'm myself. Another answer. He looked a bit, and I watched it, he looked a bit, you know, irritated. Jaden's not super comfortable, and you can tell he doesn't enjoy that this part of the job, which I kind of like about him. There were a couple of things that he said, though, that I just wanted to talk through, Max. We don't even have to play it, because I think you needed to watch the answer as much as hear it. He was asked, I'm pretty sure, by Kime, about whether or not he can run and cut. You know, how much running and cutting has he been able to do? And he perked up a bit and he said, enough to feel good if I play on Sunday. And then he said, but it's not my decision. It's the doctor's decision. And then he was asked about wearing a knee brace. He said he's never worn one before. He has been wearing one, reportedly, since the Green Bay game. He said it would be something he would have to get used to. And then when he was asked whether he would have to wear a knee brace if he ends up playing on Sunday in Atlanta, he said, quote, the doctors haven't made that decision yet, so that would be a conversation, closed quote. That answer, just if we're looking for clues about Sunday, I think that conversation may have already taken place, if there was a good chance that he was going to play on Sunday, about the brace. Doctors haven't made that decision yet. That would be a conversation. Maybe not. Maybe it would happen later on in the week after he had practiced with the knee brace. We know he was limited yesterday. We don't really know what that means in terms of how much he took in terms of first-team reps, etc. That question did not come up in the presser with him. But I think, and of course we're 2.5 hours away from perhaps looking silly, not we, but me, I think he's not playing Sunday. I think if he were playing Sunday, he would have been a full go yesterday. Now, if he's a full go today, or if he's limited today, full go Friday, that obviously will mean he's in. If he gets that full participant, of course, you know, Friday, it's not what level of practice, you then get your status as to whether or not you're in, questionable, or out. My gut right now is that he's not going to play Sunday in Atlanta, and they're going to give it one more week. Of course, if he doesn't go in Atlanta, we'll have a lot of questions as to what this injury Not that the questions haven't been there already. But at that point, it's like, okay, you know, when this happened, it was probably a 2 to 4 week injury, somewhere in that range. And we're now just figuring that out, that's exactly what it was. I hope he plays. I do. I think this is going to be a tough game Sunday in Atlanta. But my hunch is he won't play. And I feel the same way about Terry as well. I think Terry more likely is going to be out. By the way, there was a surprise on the injury report when it came out yesterday. Bill was on it with a knee. Now, some of the reporting is that they don't think that's a serious injury with Bill Kroski Merritt. So hopefully he will be able to go on Sunday as well. This from Otter. Thank you, Otter. Animal House Otter. Why didn't you mention London Fletcher or Brian Mitchell when you were talking about the Hall of Fame list? Yeah, my bad yesterday. I didn't see the whole list. I saw the headline that said Breeze and Larry Fitzgerald named to the, you know, nominated for Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. And what struck me when I saw those two is eligible, they're in. Like, to me, they are no-brainers. When you think as a football fan, like, you know, Hall of Famers, those two are immediate Hall of Famers. You know, the debatables from last year, you know, Eli and Phillip Rivers, they did not get in. I still think both will get in, and I think both I actually think Rivers deserves it more. But I think eventually both will get in. Well, Drew Brees is in the conversation of top 15 QBs, worst case, top 20 of all time. He's in. Larry Fitzgerald is probably up there in the top 5, worst case, top 7 or 8 wide receivers of all time. I don't even know where Larry Fitzgerald's numbers are. I should check those. But he's got to be way up there on all of the pass reception.
Larry has more career tackles than drop passes. Did you know that stat?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yes, I've actually heard that. Larry Fitzgerald on the all-time pass reception list. Where is he? Number two in yards. Okay, receiving yards. Receptions. He is number two. He's number two behind Jerry Rice in both receptions and yardage. So, yeah, he's an absolute lock. Where is he on the touchdown list? He's got to be
sixth.
He's sixth on the touchdown list. It's Rice, Moss. Yeah, like, I think when you think about receivers, you think about Jerry Rice one. I think it's the one position, and I've talked about this before, when you're debating the greatest at a position in the history of the game, it's the one position more than any other that gets no debate. Like, Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver in the history of the game. And if you're an NFL fan, you can't find more than a few to dispute you. Whereas every other position, even quarterback, you know, with Brady's kind of GOAT status, you'll get debate at quarterback. But after Rice, it's like, it's Moss, it's Fitzgerald. I think Randy Moss, in terms of talent, would probably be number two on that list for me. But Larry Fitzgerald's up there. The receptions list, where is Moss on the reception list? Because he had kind of a... Yeah, Moss is 18th on the reception list, which speaks to kind of the greatness. Larry Fitzgerald, number two. You know, T.O. would be in the conversation. Yeah. Those two jumped out. It's like, that's the first time we've had something where it's been so obvious that they're getting in. But Otter, yes, London Fletcher and Brian Mitchell on the 128 modern era players nomination list for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. To me, Jake is the, you know, he's no longer modern era. Jake is the big missing piece from Canton for our franchise's history. You know, you could certainly debate guys like Larry Brown and Brian Mitchell and Gary Clark. Gary Clark's resume actually, you really stacks up well with some receivers that are in the Hall of Fame. I think if he plays his entire career in the NFL instead of combo USFL and NFL, I think Gary Clark is in the Hall of Fame had he played his entire career in the NFL. I don't think as much as I, you know, Brian Mitchell's actually, when he, I think he knows the way I feel about him, he's actually one of my all-time favorite players because I think he's one of the all-time clutch players in franchise history. But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's worthy of the conversation, as he has gotten many times. I don't think he'll ever get there. He and Cribbs are the two returners on the list. And even though you can compare favorably London Fletcher's career to some linebackers, middle linebackers who are in the Hall of Fame, I don't think London will make it there either. I mean, an all-time Iron Man for our franchise and a great player. Was he the best middle linebacker of the era? No, Ray Lewis was. But I think both are absolutely year in and year out worthy of being on these lists and being narrowed down to, you know, the final 50 list or even the final 25 list. I think Jake's the one that has the best case and has had the best case to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's not there. And he would be at the top of my list for players in the history of the franchise that are not in the Hall of Fame that should be. But once again, for Brian and for London, congrats. And we are rooting for you, and I did not mean to omit them from the conversation yesterday. I just saw the headline on Breeze and on Larry Fitzgerald. All right, so wanted to read this because I think it sets up an interesting, just brief conversation. And it's not actually one of those in which it's reality. It's very much a hypothetical, but it comes from Dave. Dave writes, "Hi, Kevin. It seems like Jaden is trending towards playing while Terry might miss this week." I don't know if Jaden's trending towards playing, but obviously at this point, because he was limited yesterday and he was out last week, there's a better chance. Dave continues, "For just this week, do you think the team is more likely to win with Jaden playing and Terry out, or how we had it last week with Mariota and Terry in? I think there's a strong case that Terry is more irreplaceable right now for this offense. I think Jaden is by far the most valuable player on our team, but I feel a little bit more nervous about the offense this week than I did last week." That's a would you rather for us, Max. Would you rather Mariota Terry or Jaden no Terry this week? Again, that's not reality because I think Terry's going to be out. So I don't think we've got that option. But it is interesting to consider. My answer is immediately, oh, no, no, no. Like, this isn't that hard. Jaden, 100%, you got to have him. Especially a road game against a team that has the ability to play well and will be chomping at the bit to get back out there after being embarrassed last week in Charlotte against the Panthers. I said this yesterday. I think this is going to be a bit of a snake pit that they go into in terms of the opponent, not necessarily the crowd. The Atlanta crowd's okay. You know what? In Atlanta, there are always a lot of Washington fans anyway because of the network of Washington fans that went far south for so long and the number of people that grew up Redskin fans in that part of the country, the Southeast. I think you're going to get an absolute jacked up, ready to play Falcon team. And they've got players. They've got very good skill position players. They've got a good offensive line. They've got a better defense than they had last year. Their quarterback right now is the shaky, player on their roster. But give me Jaden in a game like that. I'd rather do that without Terry. Of course, the issue here is it's not just no Terry. It may be no Terry, no Noah Brown, no John Bates on offense. And that's problematic overall. Terry will be missed. Okay. Someone else sent me an email. and I'm looking for it right now, that just said, why all the fuss about Terry? Didn't you tell us that the team's win total wouldn't change without him? First of all, I didn't say that. I said it would change very little. But I also said that they can't win the Super Bowl or contend for the Super Bowl without Terry. They need Terry. He's their best receiver. But you are right. I minimized, very much so, the loss of a receiver like Terry to the overall season win total. You know, it would be about a game. I think I said max two games. And maybe none. But that's also from the perspective of how the odds makers would put it out there. The over-under with Terry getting injured or being a holdout or not playing would not have changed at all heading into this season. Quarterbacks change that number. A dominant defensive player changes that number. Occasionally, another skill position player on offense will impact that. But we're talking about the Saquon Barkleys and the Jamar Chases of the world, not, you know, Terry. But, of course, they're going to miss him. But back to the would you rather. I would rather have Jaden out there at 100% on Sunday. I would. I think this will be a much tougher game for whomever is playing quarterback than Sunday was. Sunday was a get-right scenario. It was the perfect setup for all of the reasons we talked about last week. Washington well-rested, Raiders not well-rested, Raiders not a really good football team overall, major issues along their offensive line, traveling west to east for a 1 o'clock kick, all of those reasons. This one is not that setup. This is a better football team, a hungry and desperate football team playing at home against a team right now that is wounded in a lot of areas. So give me the most valuable player in the franchise at the most important position on the field. That would be what I would rather have play out if that were an actual choice, which it isn't. But for, you know, sports talk hypothetical purposes, Max, which of the two would you choose?
It's tough for me just because the more that I think about it, it's not that tough. Because when you look at how the Falcons played us last year, what did Terry do in that game, Kevin? Didn't he have one catch for like 4 yards? So
was that what it was? I don't even remember.
I believe so. I know it was less than 10. That's for damn sure.
Look, him being on the field, though, is impactful not being on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. It draws eyes and all that. But at the same time, Jaden offers so much more of a dynamic skill set than Terry at such a paramount position that we have to go into this game with Jaden and no Terry if we had that option. So that I would be picking Jaden and riding with my guy.
Wow. I didn't remember it this week. What I remember about that game, okay, they clinched the postseason, a playoff berth, Sunday night football. The game got, you know, flexed to Sunday night. It was Michael Penix Jr.'s first legitimate start. He had played the week before against the Giants, who were horrible. And Jaden, basically, in that fourth quarter, second half, and overtime, strapped the team to his back. I just pulled up the box score. I should go look at my notes to see what I said about Terry, because I don't remember offhand. Jaden was 24 of 36 for 227 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, but rushed for 127 yards on 16 carries. We remember that overtime drive. Terry, 1 catch on 7 targets. Did he have a bunch of drops that night? It's not like he didn't get targeted. Why did he only have 1 catch on 7? He got targeted more than anybody except for Zaccheaus.
He was getting bracketed. That I do know. Like, they had Bates over the top, and then they had A.J. Terrell basically sticking with Terry pretty much the entire game. So he was just in hell, apparently.
Really?
From what I remember, that's how I recall it. Because I remember Bates would be following him around up top, and then Terrell was moving to whichever side of the field that Terry was on. They were like, Terry is not going to be the one to beat us. Make Jaden do it. And he did it, to his credit.
Huh. Yeah. 7 targets, 1 catch, 5 yards. Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking through just the notes to see if Jaden had a bunch of drop passes in that game. What a game that was. Hell of a football game. This will be different, I do think. My notes, connection with Terry off all night. 7 targets, 1 catch. A.J. Terrell played really well against Terry. A.J. Terrell might be on the injury report. Check that. I think he's on the injury report for the Falcons this week. I think they're missing a corner this week, potentially, and I think it's Terrell, who's a very good corner. That would be big. That could be huge. Look, if they trot out, you know, a true skeleton crew wide receiver group, you know, led by Debo, but not being the true receiver, more of an overall weapon. But you've then, you know, you've then got no Noah Brown, no Terry. So you're out there with Chris Moore, who got the second most snaps last week, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, you know, bringing up Ja'Cory Brooks from the practice squad. That's going to be a challenge for either quarterback. Either quarterback. It's going to be one of those games where the backs are going to be a big part of everything they do, I would imagine. AJ, could be a huge game for McNichols. What did you say?
AJ Terrell currently DNP with a hamstring injury, which we know a lot about corners with hamstring injuries, don't we, Kev?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's, I guess, in my notes from that game last year, AJ Terrell, great job on Terry. Okay. We're going to talk some baseball with Mark Zuckerman coming up in about 12 minutes. I've got a what do you got or two when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button when you get there.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. Von Miller from the Commanders joins us in about an hour and 20 minutes, coming up at 9:20. So we wanted to get into some audio from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about the timeline for trying to get Jaden Daniels back on the field ready for the Falcons game.
We're still listening as day to day, and then as we get into Wednesday, I'll be more qualified to, you know, hit us on what types of practice and what we can hit on to go. So he went through some things today, some more tomorrow, and that'll lead us up into Wednesday. But when we get together prior to practice, I'll have a better idea for the plan. We've not nailed that down for the week as yet.
Nah, just a little bit of a waiting game.
But your read on it, EB, is that means he's probably not going to go. Cakes has already said decision is made. He's not going to go.
I'm not basing it on anything he said.
Okay.
I'm basing it on just some hearsay stuff I heard behind the scenes. Literally, you know, whatever. Hearsay stuff. But I have reason to believe it and whatever. And then just adding what they said pregame, which stunned me, not knowing the other stuff, that if it was a playoff game, there's a 0% chance he would play. I mean, well, I'm thinking all along, it's some minor grade 1 knee, whatever, take a couple Advil, get out there and play. They're like, no, even if it was a playoff game, there's a 0% chance, which tells me I don't think that's going to miraculously heal in just another 4 or 5 days.
The fact that they're not really even telling you what it is, that's problematic too.
It's a little bit alarming. A little bit alarming.
Why don't we know what the injury is?
Last time they hid the injury is because he had a freaking fracture, apparently.
Yeah, they didn't tell us then either.
I'd be a little bit concerned about that. Yeah. JP seems very optimistic that he's going to just all of a sudden
be fine
and play this weekend.
Until I heard that other stuff.
Well, I wasn't optimistic he was going to play last week.
Right.
My vibe was he wasn't going to play last week, but he's a competitor. And
doesn't matter.
You're right. It's a little nebulous. We don't know what the injury is. Speculation that it's some sort of a sprain.
But if it was serious, they'd be talking IR.
Yes.
So it's not
like
that serious.
It's in-between range.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard torn meniscus or anything. We haven't heard anything that requires surgery.
No, we haven't heard that.
No, but it could still be.
If he had surgery, he'd go on IR.
It could still be a micro tear that will heal naturally, but you just got to wait a little time.
Yeah.
But
the fact that they're playing, well, two things. The fact that Marcus played great and the offense looked great on Sunday, and then they're going to Atlanta. I mean, you're not going to play a juggernaut.
Yeah, so
but you want to rack up wins.
Well, you
give yourself
the
best chance to win is still with Jaden Daniels.
It is, but not if he's banged up.
Yeah, but you might not necessarily need it when you're playing a team in disarray. the team.
Right, and then you risk further injury. To
I mean, the way Atlanta looked last week on Sunday, Marcus could beat them.
I think so.
He plays the way he played last week. Well, they could win a lot of games.
He maybe doesn't play that well, but he still can beat them.
That's if that version of the Falcons shows up against the Commanders.
I can't imagine they're going to be that bad.
I expect a much better effort upcoming Sunday than what you saw.
I agree.
You still got to come to play and play well. I'm just saying the pressure to play Jaden isn't as great as if you were playing the Rams or the Lions or
especially this
Philly.
Early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, we as fans can get freaked out and point to all these stats that say, oh, you're out of it if you're 0-2 or 0-3 or something. They don't really think of it that way. Those guys are competitors.
If you're 0-3, you are. But here, the worst case scenario is you're 2-2 after a quarter into the season.
But even if they were 0-3, they wouldn't say, oh, it's over.
Of course they wouldn't say it. But it is if you're 0-3.
Just take three wins, you're back in it, and then you go from there.
I know, but I think in the last 25 years, there's only one team that's done it from 0-3.
Understood, but there's still ways to do it. You're just looking at it from an odds perspective. From their perspective, the human perspective, they're going to say, yeah, we're still in this.
Sure. Yeah. But mathematically, right.
And they also
want to
protect, mathematically, you'd bet against it.
Yeah.
They want to protect their most valuable asset. They don't want to risk him in week four if it's going to knock him out for the rest of the season.
Right. If his knee is hurt, you can't play him.
Right. Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously put him through all the drills and the tests and everything, and he didn't pass.
But even if it was initially, let's say they thought it was a 4 to 6 week injury, they're not going to necessarily just throw him on IR because they're going to see how it progresses. Like, even if they think it's 4 to 6, with a guy like Jaden, they'll ride it out and see how, you know what I'm saying? They'll give him the opportunity to maybe come back a little sooner or whatever.
4 to 6 is a pretty serious injury.
If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, would you exercise caution? Let's say he could play. He could play, but he's not 100%. He's like 95%. He passes the tests. He says he wants to play. Would you hold him back?
Well, the thing is I
based on opponent, kind of what Jason's saying.
I do agree with the idea that saying someone is 100% is a little bit of a misnomer midseason. No one's 100%. I'm going to play golf today. I'm not 100%. I mean, it's not football. But I'm just saying nobody in the NFL is 100% once the season starts. Everyone has little things.
If I hear 95%, that's pretty good. To me, that's a green light. That's a go. But if you say he's 85%, then I'd be like, I don't know. Might need to wait another week. But if I hear mid-90s, in the lineup.
But the markers that he talks about, the tests, which I don't know exactly what they are, let's say he passes them, but they still feel a little nervous about it. Based on opponent, do you hold him back?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't care what they say.
So exercise extra caution.
I mean, it's kind of the eye test. You got to see how he looks. We have no idea how he looks.
Yeah, but they do have markers. Where
they do have markers.
Shuttles or little whatever they do.
Might be standing on one leg for his knee.
But they have numbers. And whatever those guys did, they have their baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get pretty close to the baseline, if not surpassing it, to get a return to play. 99% of the time.
Especially if he's passing those, I would play him.
Then you would think he's probably good. But they're probably still going to do another MRI to be extra careful because they give them out like candy, and they're going to just keep rechecking that thing to see the healing. There's no way they're going to recheck the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, they got to be careful with them, no doubt.
That kid's going to live in an MRI machine.
Do they have a punch card for MRIs? Like back in the day, you'd bring into Subway.
Yeah.
Get 9 MRIs.
Get his 10th MRI free.
Yeah, that old bit.
Right. I'm a fan of Marcus Mariota, and he certainly delivered once again. But at some point, he's going to regress a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with that.
He's playing historically good. Like, if you just took his numbers with the Commanders,
wholeheartedly.
If you just took his numbers with the Commanders, he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Sure.
But maybe the offensive fit just helps him so much where he can totally look like that. He can just look that well. And if he gets protection, he can beat a lot of teams.
No, but there's a little bit of a pumpkin that's going to come out. Like, he's definitely
it's almost Halloween.
You might
We're
be right,
close
but it might not.
Point.
It might not be this week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel as comfortable playing him in L.A. against
at
the Chargers.
Point, you're going to see why five teams gave up on him.
I wouldn't feel as comfortable playing him in L.A. against the Chargers.
Yeah.
As I would this week.
Yeah.
So Jaden has to be ready for that Chargers
game.
Or
you're just willing to kind of punt that game anyway because...
Yeah, I don't think they will, though.
I mean, that's not their mentality.
If they want to win the division, they can't punt games. Gotta keep chasing Philly.
I mean, Mariota with the Commanders has basically a 75% completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, no picks, and the rushing on top of that.
Right.
It's just, it's belies, a perfect fit. I don't want to call DQ a liar because, you know, he's a football coach. He's doing, but it just, it's against all common sense. If your backup's playing amazing, it lessens the urgency of the other guy.
Yeah, now
it's just
if you had Mark. If it's a few years ago and Mark Sanchez is trotting out as your backup, and you look at it, you're like, this doesn't look great. Then you might have some more urgency to get Jaden back in. But they have a very capable backup Mariota.
But if Jaden was legitimately hurt, they would just sign another.
They'd probably just sign somebody else to come in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on some level, I understand what he's saying, but it does buy him
more time.
The Falcons,
by the way, pretty good at stopping the run, 96 yards per game. I think that's going to get tested by the Commanders this weekend.
Like, I'll give you an example. When my son returned from ACL injury, super quick return. He got returned, for being young, cleared, but the coach still waited a couple more games or weeks because why rush it?
Yeah.
Even though he was technically cleared,
you want to be careful
why
with
rush it?
Right.
Right? So you wait even a little bit longer.
That's why he's not playing this weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be Marcus Mariota. They're firing him up again.
Right.
In Atlanta. Against one of his various former teams.
I think they win with Mariota, but here's what he's done in a Commander's uniform when he's been on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sustainable? 49 for 65. Passing, that is a 75% clip completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 132 yards rushing, 1 touchdown. He does have the 1 fumble.
Right.
Those are great numbers.
Hopefully he continues that this weekend.
It's hard to sustain
those. 2 touchdowns, sorry. Rushing.
Let's go to Larry in Annapolis. Larry, what's up with you, buddy? You're all with the Junkies.
Good morning, boys. Hope everybody's doing good. But I think you absolutely have to move with an abundance of caution. If any fan base can empathize with that, it would be us. I mean, we obviously learned in 2012 that you have to, you know, move accordingly. I would say that considering who the opponent is, I would say that considering how well Mariota played and considering that history, that you absolutely have to sit him until he's 100%. However, you guys are saying that there was no official report, and I'm 99.9%. In fact, I'm 100% certain I saw a report on one of those, I don't know which network it was, but one of those guys was saying he had a grade 1 LCL strain. Is somebody saying that?
Is that accurate? Or is that?
Well, the thing is, I'm right now I'm looking all over Twitter and all over my timelines, and I can't find where I saw it at. But
maybe that's a rumor. I don't know.
Was that like a Norman Chow speculation?
I don't think it's confirmed.
I haven't seen that.
I don't think it's confirmed, the Larry.
They even gave an analogy where they said like a grade 1 strain is like having a chair with 4 legs and one of the legs is missing, so you're trying to, you know, balance 3 of those 4 legs. And they said a grade two was like only having 2 legs on that 4-legged chair. So they were going deep into the analysis.
All right. We'll see if we can find that. Somebody can send us a clip. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Of course. Yep.
Thank you. Man, I don't think he's dreaming it up. He probably saw it somewhere.
Maybe he had a fever dream and heard it.
I don't know. Maybe they were speculating if it was
Jay Glazer says he has a sprained knee.
There's nothing more specific.
There's no CL to it.
Well, I mean,
but maybe somebody else speculated and said, hey, you know, I don't know. I have no idea.
Trust me, if there was a grade or a ligament that was assigned to it, we would be all over it.
Let me ask Grok, how long would you be out? How long is a recovery from a grade 1 LCL sprain?
LCL gets no love. It's all about the ACL.
Very little.
Yeah. ACL has a good agent.
What is the recovery for grade?
MCL gets love.
1 it, LCL.
Does the L stand for lateral? I'm just guessing. I don't know.
I believe it's lateral.
Lateral, yes. Collateral ligament.
Okay.
Mild injury. Typically takes 2 to 6 weeks.
Well, I like the 2 much better than the 6.
That's a big range. That would fit.
But that's
by
if
the
we're
way.
Buying into the LCL
okay,
injury.
But I'm just saying, it's only LCL, MCL. There's only 3 or 4 of them.
Well, he's got to have a sprain of one of them.
He's got a sprain of either the ACL, MCL, LCL. It's one of them.
I mean, a sprain is such a general
term. That actually fits the timeline, 2 to 6. That's why there's this sort of nobody understands, nobody gets it.
Yeah, you're right.
Phase one, rest, ice, compression.
It's the same rice.
Bracing. I'm telling you, I heard that he was wearing a brace at the stadium, I think it was, or at the park after. It was either at the game or after the game.
Did you analyze his gait when he was on the sideline with his hoodie?
I did.
What'd you say?
You're a body language expert.
I did, but I couldn't tell if it was just
he was smiling
swagger.
A lot.
I couldn't tell if it was swagger or limp. There's a fine line, right?
Right. If he's got his cool boy walk going.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys have a little bit of swagger to them. I couldn't tell.
This is where we need the listeners that are out and about. If you see Jaden out doing whatever, just let us know. Snap a picture.
Let's see.
Do a download video of Jaden walking.
Let me ask Grok.
Into 7-Eleven to get a big gulp.
What are the symptoms? Symptoms of grade 1 LCL.
Bunch of armchair doctors in here.
Well, this is all the doctors do. They Google it themselves. What are the symptoms?
They also go to medical school.
That's true. They have a baseline of understanding, but they're at the end of the day, they're looking it up.
Hey, but offensive to Kurt.
No, I mean, just to any doctor.
I mean, Kurt's as an expert as you could be, but he doesn't have the whole body memorized. You know,
he's not just Googling stuff.
I bet you he's got it more memorized than you.
Of course. But then
he should.
But then he looks at it, but then he's got to have he has something that he uses as his foundation, whatever it is. All right.
Yeah, years of study and patient experience.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Grade 1 LCL sprain, mild injury, minimal stretching or microscopic tears. What are the symptoms? Symptoms
pain.
Typically mild. Pain, swelling, instability worsens or persists beyond a few weeks.
There, we could be orthos.
I'm buying the LCL. By the way, for whatever it's worth, I'm buying the LCL as a significant possibility.
Okay, it's climbing the charts.
Climbing the charts, yeah.
Can someone ask Dan Wednesday what specific part of the knee it is?
Can he just have a bruised knee?
That's also true.
Which is not a tear.
I'm guessing they probably have.
I'm going to have a bruised knee.
I'm going to guess if he's been spotted in a brace, it's more than a bruise.
Like you have a bone bruise. That's possible. Yeah, I mean, he got hit right on the knee.
He hit in the knee.
He got hit right on the knee. Doesn't have to necessarily be
a bruised patella?
Possible.
I don't know.
All right, hold on. All right, let me ask Grok. How long is the recovery for a bruised patella?
We're just pulling stuff out of thin air at this point.
2 to 6.
You already beat me to it?
No, I'm just saying. I'm guessing.
A bruised patella, 2 to 6.
There you go. Same.
Dr. Bishop.
Yeah. 2 to 6. There you go.
A lot of doctors.
My guess is every one of them is going to be 2 to 6, as long as it's not a tear.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Grok doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, maybe Grok's a bit of a donk.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I would bet on it. For the medical stuff, I'd bet on it.
Coming up in about an hour, Von Miller, Commander's edge rusher, he is going to join us to talk about beating up on the Raiders and hopefully getting another win against the Falcons. That's coming up at 9:20 here on The Fan.
Should Marcus Mariota's outing against the Raiders, going as well as it did, affect the decision-making against the Falcons? Something you and I disagree on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually really interested to see what people think about this and to touch the folks on the phones at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. So, Danny, I'm going to tee you up first here, and then I'll give my take. But you're adamantly against the idea that how Mariota plays is a factor at all.
Correct. When is Jaden Daniels okay to play? That's the question. That's the only answer. That's the only thing I care about. The implication, how the backup plays matters, is are you willing to play Jaden Daniels before he's healthy and ready to play? If the answer is no, then there's no other variable. The only variable here is Jaden Daniels' health, ability, can he be himself? If that's all you care about, then you don't care what the backup's doing. I mean, that to me, this is as simple and open and shut situation as I don't care if Mariota went 0 for 21 and they lost the game and it was terrible. Is Jaden Daniels healthy? The answer is no, he doesn't play. The only reason you would care, to me, how the backup does is if you need to rush him back or if there's something where he goes, well, he's only 75%, but damn it, the backup stinks. So if I can get him to 78, I'll have him go. I don't think that's a consideration for anybody. The only way that it should matter what Mariota's doing is if you're willing to put Jaden Daniels on the field before people like me are comfortable with him being on the field.
So for me, that there is a difference between like rushing a guy and letting him play before you should, or shutting him down and not letting him play when he's ready, or some of the things you're referencing, mm-hmm. and just the urgency with which you operate to get him back. And I think it's pretty simple. When I see Marcus Mariota operate at a high level, when I see Marcus Mariota play the way he did, I don't have to be as aggressive in getting Daniels back on the field. I don't have to be as urgent. I can be a little bit more methodical. Now, what you're saying might be the utopian process. It's just not the reality of it in terms of, well, when he's ready, he plays, and if he's not 100%, then he doesn't. Correct. Except that there's a gray area in professional athletics where there's it's not a Madden game where you can actually look at a guy's percentage.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Of course I do, yeah.
So there's no such thing really as knowing. Is he 100%? Is he 95%? Is he 90%? Mariota with the Achilles all offseason and preseason, whatever that was, you know, he probably wasn't 100% this weekend. What was he? I don't know. Would his Madden score on his percentage underneath of him, like a video game character of life, would he have been at 87% in that game? Would he have been at 96%? I'm not really sure. We just heard that Bill had a dinged up knee and that Kroski Merritt may not be able to practice again tomorrow, and he didn't practice today, and his status is now in question. Okay, so what was his percentage at the end of the game? He wasn't missing carries. He wasn't not out on the field, but maybe he was running at like 63%. And my point is, while what you're saying is true as just a, I always call it a straw man. I don't know how to say it otherwise, but like a platitude of, when he's ready, play him. And if he's not ready, don't play him. Thank you. I agree with that. I'm not joning on you, but like that is the point people make. Like, when Jaden Daniels can play, he plays. Yep. When he shouldn't play, he shouldn't. Okay, cool. But now, dealing with what is, how aggressively do we push him? How urgently are we operating? Do we let him back on the practice field as soon as he says he's ready to? Do we hold him out the extra day when doctors are saying, you know, it's a pain threshold thing? What if that's the case with the knee? Where we don't think he's risking injury. It's really about swelling. When the swelling goes all the way down based on this injury, he's not at risk of doing something again. It's more of a pain threshold tolerance thing. Now it's just about him grinning and bearing it. And how much do you want to put him through in that regard? He could play at, you know, 85% or whatever that looks like. Or you could just have Mariota play. So I do think it's a big deal that Mariota played well, that the offense operates when he's in there, and that you have a chance to go win a football game, and you can buy Daniels an extra week. What a wonderful thing.
Sure, it when it works out, it's great. But if Mariota had stunk, what are we really suggesting? And that's what I keep coming back to.
So if he stunk, we're suggesting that you have to be more urgent and aggressive, not in putting him on the field too early, mm-hmm. but in maybe listening to his wants, his demands. You're still operating with the doctors, but there's going to be multiple opinions in all directions. You could listen to the more get them on the field friendly ones. You know, again, I think where we both have to be for the conversation is they're never going to put him in harm's way when they shouldn't. And they're never going to just have him sitting for weeks watching Marcus Mariota when he's ready to play as if Mariota is now their starter.
Are baselines, yeah.
So if those are the two baselines, it's just a matter of, I don't have a better word than aggressiveness, urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And how Mariota played, to me, should be a factor.
Right, which I heard you said it very well. I don't get it, because to me it is the only variables I'm considering are Daniels, his health, and those numbers. You're 100% right. I use 100% as just a qualifier, as a way to sort of try to illustrate the point of, I need him to pass every threshold. I understand no one's 100%. Like, I'm not 100%. Nobody's 100%. But whatever the number is, that's the, I did this with Griffin where he was cleared and he wore a brace and moved around terribly and was re-injured and it was awful.
So say I'm not your doing part that. Again that you just said. Like, the things you care about are?
When Daniels is ready, and it's not a well, he's cleared. Like, I have a higher threshold for it. Please protect the franchise player. I have him for 64 more games, including this one, under contract without the extension kicking in. That's when he's under team control. If I have to sacrifice a week or 2 weeks for his long-term health and viability, that's the baseline. That's what we're doing. So I know we're arguing similar things and past each other at this point. So the only variables to me, like, Mariota could be, he could get the flu this weekend and not play. I'm going, if Daniels isn't ready, he's not ready. That's the only thing that matters to me as to when Daniels plays is Daniels and the milestones.
And that part I agree. Like, to me, when you say that, I say I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is like the next step forward, I guess, which is, of course, I agree with everything you just said. And also, because of how Marcus Mariota has now played three times, mm-hmm. runs this offense, because I know I'm going to get a professional job. To me, it's like I got a great waiter on the floor at this nice steakhouse, and they call me, and they're coming back from a cold, and they're going, I could perfectly fine. I can work tonight. But I got another awesome waiter that will do
right.
just as good a job.
It's got
tonight.
A charming story about the bottle of wine, too. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like for tonight, we're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you never are back again, I'm going to lose money, and I'm going to be worse off on the floor. But for this night, just make sure.
Yeah.
Like, rest up. Come back better than ever tomorrow night. And if I didn't have that, if we're going to be swimming upstream and drinking through a fire hose, and it's going to be a 7-alarm fire on the floor, because without this guy, we crumble. It's the same thing. I think if your backup quarterback was Sam Hartman mm-hmm. in this world,
right?
I apologize, but I'm just going to go here.
Okay.
So this past week, you just lost to the Raiders at home, even though they played like crap.
And you're, 7.5, 8-point dogs this week?
And this point, you're now probably a 4.5-point underdog in Atlanta with Sam Hartman. Then it's not that I am pushing him along. It is that it's just what it is. There's more urgency to get him back in this sport where jobs are on the line. And I think you can just turn that completely off. You could just hit a button to say, nope, we don't have to worry about this. That's all. And maybe your point is that should be how it is anyway.
With that guy, it is for me.
I agree with you.
And that's kind of my point.
But it isn't reality, is my point. Like, we can all talk about the utopian part of it. Like, we lived through this to an extent.
Yeah.
But also, the guy is at every minute of every day in your ear begging and pleading and showing you, watch me run, watch me jump, watch me cut, watch me do this. And he's got doctors holding papers that say, he could do this, it's fine, he could do it. So there's just gray area to this mm-hmm. that, like, it's not like a doctor's note that says Danny can't do the radio show today.
Right. I mean, for me, just given my lived experience and yours too, and everybody that saw this, my gray area, I need it to be way closer to one of the two colors that makes the gray. One side or the other. And my point is that judicious, cautious approach with this critically important player that's respectfully more important than if and when Colson Yankoff is coming back from an injury, or more important than John Bates or anybody else in that building. Like, all I want is the deference toward the superstar at the most important position, regardless of what's happening. The danger folly thinking, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but the dangerous folly thinking is, oh God, we need him back. I saw that happen once, and it was disastrous. It was one of the most calamitous things that happened. And what I'm asking for is the adult in the room. Yeah, when the guy's chirping in your ear, I want to come back. I'm glad you want to come back. We thank you for wanting to come back.
Of course,
we got it.
I think that there's also been a shift in tone in the media too, locally, where a week ago on Thursday, Friday, he might play on Sunday, and now he probably shouldn't play against Atlanta, or barring the team having kind of whispered something, which I don't think is happening because uh-huh. they don't do that. It tells me that a lot of people are allowing how well Mariota and the offense played without him to be a factor in their, wait, what is the rush?
I think
here?
That's natural, by the way, because they
too.
Won, so nobody's worried about it. If they're 1-2 and he played poorly, people would be going, oh my God, when's he coming back?
Of course.
Yeah.
But my point is, you're acting like the team is different. And while that would be utopian and wonderful,
mm-hmm.
they're different to an extent. They have more information than everybody else. I think that what Mariota did, how the offense operated, how you feel about the offense without him is way better than a week ago. And, of course, it should factor into the aggressiveness with which you bring this guy back, in my opinion.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved? home protected, bag, on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.